Hello and welcome to the Broken Gun Podcast, where today, Johnny, Eddie and Lloydie will be talking about Not a Great Deal. First off, I am on whiskey, Eddie is on cider, and Lloyd is on enough beta blockers to stop his piss boiling for this entire hour episode.
I'm not going to make any guarantees.
How you been, boys? How you been?
Very well, thank you, Johnny. How the David Dickinson are you, dear boy?
Solid 10 out of 10, mate. Solid 10 out of 10.
Good.
I'm having a good day because my wife, Mrs. B, went and had her COVID jab today, so we are over the moon about that, to be honest.
Oh, brilliant, mate. Good to hear.
That is good, which means you will be allowed to move slightly more freely when we move out of lockdown.
Yes, indeed. She's going to be sent to the shops immediately.
Out of the kitchen.
She doesn't know what the kitchen's for. I do all the cooking in our house, mate.
Are you the domestic goddess?
I used to work in catering, so I do all the cooking.
Yeah, but being a pot bosh, that's not the same as actually cooking anything, mate.
It still means I can work out. I know what a kitchen does.
That's fair, dude. Touché there, boy. Touché.
What have you been up to this last 2 weeks, gentlemen?
Over to you, Lloyd.
Well, unfortunately, as we're still in lockdown, not a huge amount. Still working the dog, doing my job. I did a video on gloves, which...
Oh, that was a wild video, mate. That was...
Crazy, right?
That was amazing.
It certainly...
Literally, I had to sit down and process my life choices after seeing that video.
It certainly summoned some of the denizens of the internet to tell me how wrong I was.
Yeah, you had a grand plethora of bellends, didn't you?
One or two.
Yeah.
One of them called me a very bad word.
Was that on the reviews for this podcast?
He called me a CEO next Tuesday and then deleted it and then reposted it and then I blocked him.
Wow, that escalated really fucking quick from just a review on gloves.
Indeed.
To be fair, he must be a good judge of character to watch one review on gloves and come up with that exact thing I've been taking several months deciding.
Some people just make snap judgments, Tony, and sometimes they're right.
Snap judgments. He's Geordie. He doesn't know what he's talking about when it comes to gloves. He's obviously a cunt.
Clearly.
But he can recite the entire season 3 by Kagrov.
Yeah.
So that was my week, more or less, on my 2 weeks. Eddie, what about you, mate?
Obviously, we had the end of the game season between the last podcast and now, I do believe, maybe.
Indeed.
Can't remember any of it. I might have drank too much cider last night and have cider-induced amnesia. I might have shot some stuff. Oh, no, actually, I remember I had a mare of a day on the last day.
Oh, yes.
Do I have to really bloody tell it?
Relive it, John. No, Johnny. Relive it, Eddie.
Relive it, Eddie.
Okay, I'll open that wound, the joys of this podcast. I hope you're sitting comfortably. I will begin. I shot fuck all. I had grey lag geese come over my head, missed them. I had mallard, missed them. Teal, missed them. I went down to another ground and, I'm missing a bit of the story. I made an ethical decision to never shoot golden plover again after my last foray with them. And the only fucking bird that was available, yes, you've got it, 10 points to Gryffindor, was bastard golden plover. So I sat there, rolled myself a cigarette, had a flask of tea, angrily smoked my cigarette whilst all these plover were about.
Have your shooting chums not joined you on your plover?
No. They have the ethics of a terrierman. So they're quite happy to just do whatever they want to do.
Sorry, the ethics of a what?
Terrierman.
is that our Somerset thing?
It's all right, don't worry. It's a strange saying. Basically, it's you might want to cut this bit out, Lloyd.
Not a lot of ethics.
Yeah, it's not a lot of ethics at all.
By Eddie Tunstall standards, anyway.
Yeah. Sorry, Terry, man. Sorry, Terry, for fuck's sake. Yeah, like I said.
Sorry, Terry.
Sorry, Terry and his man. Yeah. So my season finished on an absolute slump. And that's all I've got to say on that.
However, at least you actually had a season. I had one day.
Yeah, I can't grumble. I haven't had a bad season. I've had an exceptionally good season, I think.
I didn't even get out on the Ducks.
Oh, mate. For the everyone listening now, Lloyd's pulling a sad face.
Frowny times.
Poor Johnny Lloyd.
Johnny, what have you done?
I've had lots of fun. I haven't done a great deal this week. I went and filmed. I spoke about the documentary for Natural England and the biodiversity crisis and licensing crisis last week. We started filming that, started putting that together. That's quite exciting. Speaking to a guy about stone curlews, which was genuinely more exciting than it sounds. We then, I took a Caribbean caveman out. We went stalking with Nathan. That was epic. That was a really good day.
Yes.
That was a
wicked
day.
How did he get on?
Success on many planes. We came home with a deer. It was a lovely time. We saw hundreds of deer. Like, it was just one of those perfect initial outings. The deer was a little bit late in the day. And I think by that point, he hadn't switched off, but he kind of not even come to terms with not getting something. But, you know, it's like when you go out, you feel like there's all those possibilities. And as you get towards the end of a hunt, all the possibilities disappear and you just start feeling just happy about having been out.
Yeah.
And just at that last moment, just as I was about to turn to him and say, unload the rifle, a muntjac steps out 20 yards in front of us and genuinely offers itself up.
Turn its massive wet eyes towards you in a sort of, hello?
It stood there for long enough that I can almost guarantee that muntjac was for him.
Wow.
Probably sounds stupid. Listening to way too many hippie podcasts. However, the muntjac never stand like that for me. So that's all I'm saying.
It's because they've been warned.
Caribbean caveman, this was his first stalk?
It was, mate, yeah.
Excellent. Well, well done for getting a newbie into the sport, mate. And, we won't say too much because I've spoken to Caribbean caveman. And he said it was a massively humbling, grounding experience, which is pretty cool.
We'll get him on to tell us more about it, right?
Johnny was there.
Yeah, let's do that.
It would have been amazing without me.
The night was magic, except for the big lanky bellend that kept trying to touch me.
Well, it's a handsome dude. What can I say?
Like, what could you do? You've already waxed lyrical about him times past.
When he's got a rifle shooter, do you think he caught his rifle the way like a sex pest teaches a woman how to play pool, like leaning over the back of them and that, just hold it like this.
The best way to teach someone to shoot prone rifle is to lie on your back and get them to lie face front in front of you, and then you can manipulate their body. The best.
That's right,
I hear the best thing to do is, right, say you're like some sort of creepy archery teacher or something and stand really close to them and just tickle their ear.
Did you say archery?
Yeah, I did say archery, yeah.
Just for the record, because none of you can see this, these two have had to almost turn their mics off because they are dying laughing right now. And I don't know why. It's not funny. But I didn't interfere with my wife. She was already my wife.
Sorry. Apart from that, I've had a lovely time. I've been out walking. And just enjoying life.
Yes,
I spent the last 3 days racking my brains as to how best to create a Why We Hunt film for the English market, looking at where we've been, where we are, and where we're going for shooting, stalking, pest control.
Interesting.
It is not a simple task to come up with some sort of concept.
What standpoint are you going from? Are you going from an ethical standpoint, a moral standpoint, a legal standpoint?
All of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so well, this is like a proper showcase of who we are and what we do. Looking at it from a professional standpoint, from a hobbyist standpoint, and from like a bit more of a spiritual side as well. The point being that shooters can watch this and feel good about themselves. Non-shooters can watch this and go, And those who are ambiguous might go, yeah, actually, I'd give it a go, which is kind of the point, hopefully.
Well, I'll be quite honest. You're going to have to work fucking hard to top the last video you did.
What?
Because that was really, really, really good.
Which one was that?
The one for the NGO.
Oh, the conservation cruelty.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was really good. Really, really good.
That was a relatively simple film by comparison, I feel.
Yeah. This one sounds like you're going to have an absolute mare, mate. So
it's all right, mate. I've got a fairly good list. I put a post out on Instagram, actually, asking of people who people value the opinions of. And there's some real interesting names on there, actually. Eddie, yours wasn't on the list, but I think that I value your opinion as a hunter, just so you know.
Thank you. Thank you, mate. Really upset that my name wasn't put down by somebody else.
Hold on, I'll comment it right now. Ready?
Thanks, mate.
Somerset Hunters. There we go. That means a lot, right?
Thanks for a sympathy vote there, mate. I feel like I've shagged some bird because she felt
I don't
sorry.
Think I actually responded to that, but I would say if you get a chance to talk to Al Gabriel, Northern Stalker on...
he's very close to you.
He is, and he's also...
Are you just trying to get me to come up and spend time with you? Is this what it is?
Well, not specifically with me. I mean, in the Northeast, so you get to see how good it is and that. And I'm here.
It's cold. It's cold and full of people.
It is, unfortunately. I've been doing a lot of walking this week. Unfortunately, we've had the weather from just a bad place.
Still got snow there?
No, the snow's gone. Although apparently we're due more snow this week.
Yeah.
It's just been pissing down, basically, and dreadfully windy. Horizontal sleet.
And that's why we don't live there, Eddie.
We live in nice places.
Well, you live in the subtropical swamp, and I just live in the sunny Riviera beach paradise.
There's nothing wrong with the Somerset Bog, mate. The Somerset Bog is the way forward.
It would be remiss of us, perhaps, not to mention the big news this week. Two things. One about Patagonia, which seems to have been all over the place. And the other one about Holland that seems to have drawn a lot of...
bollocks.
Nationalistic rubbish, shall
absolute
we say?
Absolute bollocks, yes.
Yeah.
The amount of completely unqualified opinions and unthought-through thoughts are despicable. Lloyd, would you sum up, Lloyd?
So, Holland & Holland, a company that was acquired by another company some time ago that apparently nobody noticed.
Nobody cared because social media wasn't a thing when Chanel bought it.
Exactly, yeah. A company who knows absolutely shag all about shooting and shotguns, acquired Holland & Holland. Nobody noticed, as far as they were concerned, it was Britain. Go on.
Can I ask when Chanel did buy it? Because I didn't know that Chanel owned it. I thought Holland & Holland still owned by Holland & Holland.
Chanel bought Holland & Holland in 1996. I knew that off by heart.
Completely. We didn't cut to Google that. Definitely not.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been in French hands for a while, right?
Yeah, they've been driving the company in a really fashionisty, non-gun-makey way for a little while. And to be honest, they haven't been doing too badly. They just haven't been following the route of a classical British gunmaker.
No. So now, they've now been acquired by one of the oldest companies in the world, and certainly the oldest firearms company in the world. And suddenly people are losing their minds because, like, oh my God, this, like, English, like, total icon has been acquired by Italians and that, and they're probably going to break it and that. No,
does everyone sound like you, Lloyd?
Yes.
Everyone does, yeah.
Yeah.
What are your two's opinions on how Beretta will now drive Holland & Holland? Do you think they're going to drive it into the fucking dirt and start
making
bullshit?
Well, they're not. They're certainly not going to do that, no. They're not going to make it cheaper either. If anything, if they've got the head screwed on, they'll make it more bloody expensive. They're not going to suddenly, like, kind of farm out, all right, they're now going to start knocking out the parts in a factory in, like, Moderna. No. don't be stupid. Why would they do that? They have this fantastic bespoke company in the UK that's got this massive, like, brand name behind it. They're just going to put some money into it.
Yeah, chuck some money into it and let them run it as they are running it.
So I would look at the Rigby model. Rigby was acquired by L&O Group in 2013. Again, knew that off by heart.
Legend.
You're like an encyclopedia of shooting, Johnny.
Shooting acquisitions. L&O Group is the holding company that owns Blaser, Sauer, Mauser, Minox. And to be honest, they put Mark in charge and kind of let him do a great job. But with the power, purchasing power, logistics power, and intelligence that comes from a huge holding company, I can only see this as a good thing for the management of Holland & Holland going forward, providing they put the right people in charge. And, well, to be honest, the people who are complaining is the thing that made me laugh the most. This affects 0.0001% of the population of shooters. Who buys a new Holland & Holland? I mean, at maximum capacity, what are they selling? 40 guns a year? 80 guns a year?
Have you ever seen one, Eddie?
Yeah. I've got the internet.
Right. You've never seen one in the metal, though, have you?
Like I said, I've got the internet, Lloyd. Is that not good enough?
No. First time I ever shot a Holland & Holland, I shot it from the hip, broke the target, put the gun in the case, never shot one again.
I saw one at Bottega Giovanelli being engraved. I've never seen one other than that. Just because, you know, it's a Holland.
Actually, I think I have seen a Holland & Holland. I do believe it was in my local gun shop.
There's an interesting one. The Holland & Holland is engraved by Bottega Giovanelli, or is that one of their budget guns?
No.
Which case, who the hell cares if Beretta's going to take it and do all the work to it? Because for the most part, most of these London guns are made by outworkers anyway. Some of the London gun companies' guns are made mostly by outworkers anyway.
One of these days, I'll release the footage. I did record a stack of footage at Bottega Giovanelli, and I've never released it because I'm an idiot.
Well, get on and do it, Lloydie. Anyway.
All right.
Is there any other exciting news whilst we bore the hell out of people talking about gun shit that no one really cares about?
Holland Patagonia, there's been a lot of talk about that, obviously.
I don't own any Patagonia gear anyway, who cares?
No, me neither.
I don't know anything about it. So
Moreland monitors don't like grouse keepers.
Yeah, I know that much about it, I don't know anymore.
Essentially, didn't buy Patagonia.
All right, cool.
He wasn't good anyway.
No.
I was going to say, £500 for a pair of fucking pants can do one, can't it? So
you don't even wear pants, Eddie.
This is Eddie, not Bruce, who's shooting.
Not when he's shooting.
You're in a loincloth, your way.
Yeah, says the one with leather fucking trousers. Oh, bless him, he can't whistle.
Oh. No, he's
I was trying to get quiet. I can't wake the kids up. I've just spent like 3 hours trying to get the buggers asleep. You know, like the full-on wolf whistle. Anyway, yes. Leather pants.
Don't buy Patagonia.
Don't buy Patagonia. Or do. Who cares?
So what's next on the agenda then, MC Johnny?
Well, seeing as I am in charge of today, I was going to give everybody a quick fire round. I have a few questions here. The topic for today's session's quick fire round is your worsts.
Oh, fucking hell. Where do I start?
We're going to start with a real easy one. And this goes to both of you. What's the worst gun you've ever owned?
Oh, mate.
Ooh.
Eddie, it's easy. Your Bakel.
But that's your opinion. I'm still going to stand by the fact that it was that Mossberg. But it is that Bakel. Okay, Bakel. Side by side, double trigger, non-ejector. Yeah, hideous. Lloyd?
There's some contenders here. Like, when I decided to get back into shooting, I bought a Lambert, and it was absolutely bloody dreadful. And it, only in retrospect, when I look back at it, I think, ugh. But... I mean, it was fine. It got me back into shooting. It served its purpose. Probably the worst gun that I actively bought was a gun that I bought sight unseen on the internet and did an RFD transfer, which was a 32-inch 32-inch Winchester SX3 with the one with the red receiver. I can't remember which.
Raniero Testa.
There you go. That orange.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, that.
But it was, I had to buy a new cabinet because I just didn't, like, it didn't fit any cabinet. I'd taken it bits.
Interestingly, did it fit barrels up or barrels down?
Nobody cares.
How's that for a segue, bitch?
Nobody cares.
Yeah, like it.
Anyway, next question.
What was the worst experience of the wheels falling off?
Well, apart from the last day of this game.
I was going to say, Eddie, it was last week.
But I've had days in the hide where I have shot 200 cartridges for maybe 25 birds.
Were they our birds?
No, they weren't, Dave. They were just bog standard decoying in tuck pattern. And I'd set the pattern up perfect. And they were decoying lovely. I just couldn't hit a cow's ass with a bloody band.
Was the pattern 80 yards away from the hide?
No, mate. They were absolute sitters, mate. The wheels came off with such a ferocity that I think I actually launched my semi-automatic into the dirt, said, fuck this, fuck you, I'm gone. And I got into my truck and just drove off and left the boys there with all my decoying kit.
It took you 200 shots to get to that point.
It was, maybe it wasn't as many as 200 shots, but there was a lot more shots than kills. And yeah, I bigged the day up in my head. I was like, yeah, it's brilliant. I've done all the reconnaissance. It's going to be grand. It's going to be brilliant. And I was just shooting like an absolute Stevie Wonder. It was awful.
For me, aside from the one game day I had this year where I hit an out, which sucked ass, but for me, the worst or the most wheels coming off-y kind of day was a day in a pistol range. So this is going back a little bit. So there's a guy who used to come to the club and he used to, we all used to home load because factory pistol ammunition was
huge. I'm going to be so fucking drunk.
Okay then. And this guy was a bit notorious for like really, really shorting out how much powder he put into his loads. And his gun used to go off with like a pop, whereas everybody else made a bang. And he'd been warned numerous times, can you please load with like a realistic amount of powder, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, this one day, pop, pop. Now, our range used to have, rather than a snail trap, it had a sacrificial plate. So there's basically a big steel plate, and in front of it is a curtain made out of a material called Linotex.
Linotex.
So this bullet he sent made it through the target, which is made like plywood or whatever, hit the Linotex, bounced off the Linotex, came back, and hit a policeman in the face. Now, this copper...
Oh, shit.
This copper put his gun down calmly, walked across the range, grabbed this guy, and then had to be pulled off him before he smashed his fucking head in. Because he had a big, like...
They breed coppers different up north.
Wow.
This had, like, started off his forehead, and he was not a happy bunny. Like, funny enough, the lad never came back to the range after that.
But he basically just got shot in the head. So, yeah, understandable.
He wasn't happy fucking bunny. Hell. Wasn't a happy bunny at all.
Christ alive. How about you, Johnny? Because I know you're aiming this at us, but how about you, Abbott?
Oh, I once shot a 42 out of 100 with a brand new gun that I bought. I was a really unhappy boy and gave up shotgun shooting for about 2 years.
Oh, wow.
What was the gun?
I mean, there was a few times after that went and shot, and I was quite young, and I was doing quite well up until that point. I bought a new gun from a very well-known gun shop, and they said, this is better for you. It's the best thing since sliced bread. I walked out of that shop not knowing anything about gun fit. Little old me, and I suddenly went for shooting quite well, just not being able to hit a damn thing, and I didn't know.
Or name the gun shop.
No. What is your worst one-liner joke? Not pickup line, Eddie.
What the fuck, mate? Thanks for giving us enough time to think about this, Johnny.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's no fun if you go out and research a good one, was it?
Worst one-liner joke. I think the worst, or at least the worst received one-liner I've ever made in public. I was playing pool in a bar in upstate New York in a little town called Suffern. And Americans don't do humour the way we do. It's just
nobody does humour the way you do, Lloyd.
Thank you very much. So there was... shall we say, an attractive barmaid had come out from behind the bar to play pool with myself and a friend of mine, and we were very drunk, and she made a shot, and it was a proper felt ripper, and she went, oh my God, I'm sucking tonight, and I went, well, if you're offering, love, and honestly, darts stopped in midair, like the jukebox, like, proper, like, everybody in the boozer turned to look at me, and I was like, what the fuck?
Lady and gentlemen on? And non-binary this joke was probably made back in the 60s when that sort of joke was allowed.
It would have been in the early 2000s.
On this podcast where those jokes are allowed.
Yeah, it was not well received by anyone in there, apart from Kev, we met, who was breaking his ass laughing at the back of the bar.
He was the
only person in the place that was laughing. Everybody else was just staring at me. I'm thinking, I'll get me cup.
Exactly, you pulled for the win.
So there you go.
My best joke. I used to know so many jokes. What would you do if you come across a tiger in the jungle? Wipe him off and apologise.
Oh, God.
And here's me, Eddie, thinking your worst joke was your Instagram feed.
It's shared with my brother, so he has half the responsibility. Thanks, Johnny. Should we just chuck out the first podcast again? See if anyone
Yeah, I'll just dub it over with. Welcome to episode 3 of the Rocking Cup podcast. Actually, guys, money spinner idea. I'll just do that for the rest of the episode.
Exactly. Just keep chucking it out. Just keep chop and change different comments. It'll be fine. Oh, fucking hell. So, where are we to now then?
Have you had any interesting questions via your social media output?
What was that fucking one I sent you boys earlier? I think it was like yesterday or something. What did it say?
What did happen this last 2 weeks is Charlie Day, the country mum, did me dirty. I went to pick up a Domino's. Because we like fast food and we live in a city. And I walked in, I said, collection for Johnny. No name. And after having queued for a substantial amount of time, because one person in, one person out, click and collect. Might be under Charlie, Carter, Day. No, that's a name. So I said, what name did you put it under? She says, I don't know. And by this point, I'd looked at the board to see what names are on there, including Ronald Weasley. Surprisingly, I don't find this the most offensive part of this story. The most offensive part is that she ordered me a fucking kebab pizza. It is probably the worst pizza I've ever tried. And then I spoke to Sasha about it. And he goes, no, they're brilliant. You just need to get rid of the tomatoes and the onions and just double down on the Donna meat and Frank sauce. I'm like, that's a different pizza. It was vile. I was humiliated and then had to eat a shit pizza.
Sash, we love you, but fuck no. Donna meat can get fucked.
If I was married, I would be getting divorced right now, no doubt. Oh, and in secondary exciting news, Eddie.
Yeah.
There's a new cartridge out, isn't there?
Oh, mate.
Is there?
I am super.
It's for killing stuff, Lloyd. You wouldn't be interested.
Duper excited about this.
Go on.
Really excited about it. So it is the Bio Ammo. Sorry, let me just have a quick look at my story a second.
Blue
see if
pill,
I can find the
blue. It's called
24 gram.
Is that what it's called? Blue. Yeah, it's gonna. I really genuinely.
It is a 0% plastic, 0% lead, 0% steel shotgun cartridge.
Bio Ammo Blue 24, zero steel, zero lead, zero plastic. Is that what you just said, 20?
Sorry, what comes out?
It was. It's coming out in a couple of
rocks.
Months. It is a secret alloy.
Blatantly tungsten.
I don't care if I get in trouble for this. I have been told, whether it's true or not, it could just be complete and utter rumeric bollocks. Zinc, tin, aluminum, and bismuth mixture. Yes, I said aluminum.
Aluminum.
It is supposed to perform exactly the same as lead, or as near as damn it the same as lead. It probably won't, but it might be better than steel. And more importantly, is extremely malleable, so you can whack it through full chokes.
Now, here's the thing, right? I saw the Instagram post or whatever for that the other day, and I just thought, for God's sake, what's the thou rate? Right, you can tell us there's a new cartridge coming out. Whoopee-doo! What's the thou rate?
the word bismuth in the title of any mixture, and the fact that zinc and tin are quite light and aluminum is very tight. So aluminium is very, means very
bismuth
light.
Bismuth is going to be quite high on the list of things.
It's
going to
be a high bismuth content, right?
And which means they're not really
expensive,
cheap.
Which means...
What do you reckon the price point on that is then?
This is... speculative guesswork is my favourite thing. £800 a thousand.
How much?
Did you just say 20 quid a box?
I said 30 quid a box.
I'm going about £800 a thousand in my head.
Really?
Yeah.
They bestn't be for the likes of you and me, Eddie.
Well, I think they could be. Why not? Like, how many cartridges do you realistically use in a season, Eddie? I mean, a fucking lot, because you're so bad.
He did just tell you about a time when he shot 200 cartridges for about 3 kills or whatever, so...
All right, let's imagine they're £600 a thousand, because £800 would just be a bismuth cartridge. That's, I don't know, it's acceptable. And it's exciting.
It's going to make you a better shot, isn't it? You're not going to want to miss too much for that.
Well, when there's no lead, that's going to be much better than steel, technically, potentially.
I disagree.
I've actually had a conversation with him. I'm really happy with where we're at with steel. I'm just kind of getting used to it.
So, excuse me, I just recently purchased some ethical, sustainable steel cartridges. And I went Corvid shooting with them the other day, and I shot some very, very reasonable Corvids with steel shot.
What, 20 yards away?
Now,
did
Jonathan.
You, did you have to get them
now?
The
now. You boys are very fucking horrible tonight, aren't you? No, I reckon they were 35 to 40 yards, which is a fair, reasonable shot. I'm happy enough for that. That's a decent bloody range. And yeah, they killed, stone dead. And that was 32 grams of number 4, I do believe.
Would you like to tell us which steel cartridge it was?
That was Bio Ammo again.
Right.
So I've decided now that I'm going to move on to steel, entirely steel for everything, just so that I have a slight idea of what the hell I'm doing in 5 years' time when the voluntary ban comes in.
Well, time flies. It's 4 years' time, but yeah.
Okay, sorry, John.
I'm not... I know what you're saying, because I've got 2 slabs of game cartridge downstairs that I've been working my way through for the last 2 years. I'm not making a dent in it, but that I haven't shot a great deal over the last couple of years, and let's face it, one of those years was 2020, so... but still, I balk at bismuth costs, tungsten costs. That's just...
I've never shot bismuth and I've never shot tungsten ever.
I have some tungsten, Eddie.
Of course you do. You probably melted down some of your servants to make it.
I melted down.
You've got
Jeffrey's
to carry some
hip,
with you when you go shooting.
Cobalt
over.
Magic.
You've got to carry some with you when you go duck shooting, so that you can tell the cops that's what you shoot.
I'm actually using tungsten, dear boy.
Unfortunately, down south we actually abide by the law. Because we care about the environment. We don't still burn coal to keep hot, you miserable monkey.
Wait, we burn it because we live on
coal.
It.
To be fair, he's so far north, he still digs peat to keep hot.
Do you know, my wife actually asked me this morning about whether or not she's asking me about briquettes. Oh, when you were young, did you get briquettes to put on the fire? And I was like, what do you mean, briquettes? She's like, why, peat. I was like, no, that's just island pet. We had coal here on account of it. We basically live on a massive coal mine in the northeast. We never burned peat. In Ireland, they burned peat.
Thank you for that.
Tell you what, I'd love to come to a dinner party of yours.
Honestly, Johnny, the long winter nights... Fly by.
I'd crack out jokes such as, I ate a clock the other day. It was very time consuming. And you'd all think it was the best thing since sliced bread with your standard peat versus coal arguments.
Wait, whoa, hang on. Sliced bread?
You just did off to something, Ellie.
What is this sliced bread you're talking about? What is this witchcraft?
If you wait about 15 centuries, it might make its way to you.
Garlic bread?
That fuck pisses me off. Not you, Lloyd, the other one. Peter Kay.
No, comedians that aren't funny and should fuck off. Peter Kay, yeah. James Corden, he needs to get in the fucking sea.
Yeah, he needs to fuck off.
Yeah. The Office, that twat. What's
his name? Yeah. Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais, no. Nah.
Ricky Gervais is a funny man. I hate a lot of his arrogance. And I hate a lot of his worldviews. And I didn't watch him for an extended period of time based on those worldviews. However, he is a funny fucker.
And I'm willing to overlook any kind of comedic value he has because of the rhetoric bullshit that pours out of his mouth on social media.
No,
I'm sorry, Johnny. He's the douchebag of the highest form.
Correct, Edward.
I figure most of them probably are.
I don't know. I think Frankie Boyle, he's obviously a very anti-Hunter, but he doesn't broadcast it. But the fact that he says nonce jokes and accuses small children of masturbating in front of their parents on his live shows really makes me happy inside.
There are. So, if there was a comedian you could go for a pint with, who would that be?
Oh, mate. Easy.
Eddie Tunstall.
Easy. Ooh.
Bruce's shooting.
No, he's a comedian. We say comedian, not tragic middle-aged man that should know better and put his fucking clothes on. Keep that one in.
Yeah. Oh, then.
It would have to be Mike Reed.
What?
Frank Butcher.
Is he a comedian? Is he still is. Alive?
No, he's dead. But he is.
I didn't say you could you go for a pint with a corpse.
Just chuck him over your shoulder.
If we're talking about I'd like to go for a pint with Frankie Howard.
Yeah?
Frankie Howard is very high on my list of people I'd actually very much like to meet.
You can't, I'm going to go for a pint with Laurel and Bloody Hardy. Go on.
All right. Okay. It's going to have to be Frankie Boyle, then, isn't it? For me, it's going to have to be Frankie Boyle.
You would go for that vicious cutting.
I love it. I want him to absolutely rip me to shreds and I will cry with laughter the whole way and I will try and retort and he will put me back in my box time and time again. And I'd love that. That'd be great. Frankie Boyle. For sure.
For me, I would say Dave Chappelle.
Good shout.
Dave Chappelle, because he's an interesting guy with a lot of interesting views. And I would love to go for a fight with him.
Fair play. How about you, Johnny?
Alive, probably Steve Martin.
Never heard of him.
Shut up.
You're a mug. You know who Steve Martin is. I watched so many of his videos.
Roxanne, The Three Amigos, The Jerk.
The man with two brains.
And man with two head. Brains. Miss
Dr.
Huffer.
Mr. Dr. Huffer.
No. Boys, I have no fucking clue what you're talking about.
Mate, it'll be released in the cinema in Somerset.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually.
Soon enough.
The Jerk should be out first, though. Look for that in 2022 sometime.
I've legit never, ever, ever heard of that bloke.
Okay.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels with Michael Caine?
Johnny, do you want to pick somebody that Eddie's heard of?
Don't put the cork on the fork.
What the fuck sort of basic
don't take the cork
humor
off the
is?
Fork? Mate, he is well up there with definitely one of my favourites. But Pink Panther, mate. Who's in the Pink Panther?
Oh, Pink Panther, yeah.
Breaking news, folks. Eddie hasn't got a clue who Steve Martin is.
Maybe I have, but I don't. I'm not sure. Sorry, guys.
Do you know who Joe Rogan is?
Mm.
Yeah, all right. I'll go
of
for a
course
drink with
I
him.
Know.
He's a comedian.
Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah, he's adequately funny.
Now, see, this is the thing. I know of Joe Rogan because of his podcast and because he's been on like Meat Eater, but I've never listened or seen any of his stand up. Is it any good?
It's very American.
I can imagine.
I'll be honest. I have to side with Lloyd on this. I've never listened to any of his stand up either. But he has potential on his podcast to be funny, and sometimes he is.
It's manageable. It's American stand-up humor. It's not quite the same as ours. You know?
You mean right. It's basic?
It's a bit basic.
Yeah.
They don't make nonce jokes and say horrible things. The thing why America makes the best comedians in female form because their women are way more bitter than their men, clearly.
Now, hang on. I think one of the funniest female comedians is Sarah Millican. Now, I'm not just saying that because she's a Geordie.
Is she your sister?
Are you related to
her? We're not all from the same family in the Northeast.
I bet you like that Shag Married Annoyed lot as well. They're your brethren.
No, thank you. But I would totally go for a drink with Sarah Millican as well.
So, Lloyd, do you have an idea for a new segment? Not that it will recur, but it may do.
One of those things where we have a spontaneous idea and then we just run with it. Have you heard any interesting questions or spectacularly stupid questions on your social media this week?
I have had a rather interesting one. I posted a picture of a semi-automatic shotgun on my story, and then some lad said, "What is it like?" I said, "Oh, it's very good, mate. I get along very well with it. Have you ever used this particular shotgun?" "Yeah, I've got the silenced one." I was like, "Silenced Winchester SX4? No, I've got a Mossberg.
Pump action.
Okay. Okay. Cool." He goes, "How do you find it?" I said, I've only ever used a 12. "Well, yeah, but I'm on about the 410. So I've never used it, mate." He goes, "Yeah, but what's your opinion of it?" It's fucking blinding, mate. It's brilliant. He goes, "I've just borrowed one." I said, "So surely should I not be asking you of the opinion of it?" "Well, I haven't shot it yet." "Okay, mate. Cool. Well, thanks very much for your message. Take care. Goodbye." Fucking hell. If you're listening to this, just unfollow me.
I had a chap who, on the subject of a 694, messaged me to ask if I thought it might fit him. using my force powers, I was like, "Oh, sorry, mate, I can't fit you over a YouTube comment. Sorry, but give us a chance, how weird."
"I bought this shotgun, will it fit me, Lloyd?"
Did your reply go something like, "I may look like Yoda, but I do not have his powers"?
Oh! Yoda wishes he was as happy as me, man.
What an absolute codpiece. So he expected a YouTube comments gun thing, right?
No. He was actually, he did reply and say, "Oh, do you know what? Yeah, of course. Sorry." So he was cool in the response, but I was just like, "How are you, man?"
So we've got no backup slagging of your follower at all. Mm-mm. Oh, Lloyd.
No, he was quite reasonable when I said, "How are you? Don't be daft." Johnny, how are you? What's yours?
Well, to be fair, I've literally just opened up my YouTube studio on my phone to have a look, just have a little scroll through, because I would say 20% of our comments are a bit retarded. And the first one is this, commented 1 hour ago during the recording of this podcast. "I've noticed that you have become very over-animated and more pretentious with each video. Now that you've actually realised you are unnecessary, hopefully you'll stop making videos."
Nice. I mean,
he's got a point.
The best bit of advice I could give aspiring YouTubers, right? So if you want to open a channel, or you want to start a channel, and you want to do what we do, when someone gives you a comment that is attacking you, or is having to go at your content, or just generally doing you down, just delete it.
No. Reply with a really harsh "fuck you, you miserable motherless prick." Then delete it, so they get an email notifying them that you've said this, but they can't reply.
Just honestly, block and move on. It is the only way. There are trolls out there. I mean,
laugh with every single block is the best feeling.
Absolutely. Generally speaking,
how many people do you boys have blocked then?
Not many.
Probably
not many.
Only four.
Oh, really?
Two of mine because they were being utterly vile and racist, and two just because I didn't like their comments. They were being nasty, and I was in a bad mood.
Generally speaking, the comments on my channel are universally either constructive or useful or interesting or positive. There is a very, 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 very small minority, which speaks fantastically of the shooting community, that very, very few of them are trolley. And I've had to delete very few.
As a little seamless segue on from the YouTube
with blocking. One exception.
Do you want to talk about that one exception?
Which is the amount of times I get asked, and Johnny, I'm sure yours is exactly the same, how much is this shotgun in my region?
Oh, wow.
I know. How much is this gun in Pakistan?
How much this gun in wherever is more common than you would think. And I don't know. I live in England. This is an English channel. I'm not being nationalistic. I just happen to live here. And I give my prices based on our market. So if you have a go at me because I haven't given the price in US dollars or I haven't told you how much it is in your country.
Can you convert this to dong, please?
I get that all the time. And I don't know is the answer. Universally, if you ask, no idea. Soz, mate.
So this week, I have been added to approximately 30 group messages on Instagram. I've really enjoyed every single one of these ladies exposing their breasts, asking if I'd like to send them money. It's been so pleasurable deleting all of them. It has been a constant burden on my fucking life.
Did you send them any money?
I'm broke now, mate.
Not after the first
everything
two.
I had. Literally, I thought the first one, I'm onto a winner here. She looks quite legit. I think she can have all my wages.
She's got six fingers, so she must be local.
No, mate, her family are in a really rough time. Apparently, the rice paddies have flooded. And apparently that's not a normal thing. And they're all underwater and the rice isn't growing. And the donkey, apparently it got eaten in some stew by some gun reviewer on YouTube. And it's all gone to fuck. Apparently he couldn't understand what it was until the waitress went, eat or, and then it was all right.
She did. Yeah. I should point out, by the way, it wasn't just Eeyore. She also did the ears with her fingers.
Oh, okay.
And well, if anybody is wondering why I am using my television voice, it's because Lloyd complains that I don't enunciate or talk loud enough.
No. I've never said that your enunciation is bad. I just said that normally...
You talk fucking couldn't have been popcorn and kettle black, wouldn't it, Will?
All the way over here. I think the title of this episode is going to be The Krypton Factor. Lloyd, assemble an episode from this fucking terrible mess.
I'm going to get a phone call midweek. So, guys, I'd look through the podcast. We've got to record another one tonight. It was shit.
All right. Well, because if we're going to babble about something, we might as well help me out here, guys. I'm going to take us back to the trophy hunting film. Because, Eddie, you commented about five names on my post, and I'd love to know who the hell they are.
What, Jim Albarn?
Who's Jim Albarn?
Mate, he's like the original pigeon shooting OG.
He's no Archie Coates.
I don't know, mate. He's very much... You never heard of Jim Albarn? Mate, get on YouTube, have a little fucking look through, watch his videos. They're great. They're fucking great. One second. Ray Loxton is, there's a village called Pilton, which is where they host Glastonbury Festival. And he is a massive poacher. He loves to course deer with his one-eyed lurcher called Princess Suze. But what he doesn't know about the countryside is not worth knowing. And his opinions are very valid, excluding the fact that he's a poaching twat.
Yeah, unfortunately, it really does eradicate him from a film done with the National Gamekeepers Organization.
I know. And he also
needless to say, he's a miserable law-breaking prick.
Yeah, exactly. And I can't remember what else I said. What else did I say? I just said that those old salt of the earth boys that know everything about everything, and yeah,
like Lloyd.
Yeah, well, just like Lloyd.
Not about hunting, unfortunately. That is not my particular area of expertise.
Oh, apparently. So I work with a bloke who is an ex-whipper-in for two hunt teams. And he really enjoys the podcast up until the point we say we go hunting. because we're not using a pack of dogs and we're not sat on a horse.
That's an interesting one. I had this conversation last week regarding this exact film. I think it's a totally usable word.
It is, because the term hunting isn't exclusive to tear arson around the countryside on a horse with a pack of bloody hounds. And it's been in use way before that was a thing.
The rest of the world do coin it for chasing animals for meat.
Yeah, with various weapons.
So what is your definition of hunting? Where's your line of hunting? What do you say is hunting?
Me or Lloyd?
Both of you. It's a three-way podcast.
Well, it doesn't really matter. In which case, my line of hunting is just the pursuit of game.
Yes. Taking of meat via a gun. For me, I mean, I don't use anything else to take meat.
Because you're not
so therefore pre-hunting, fox hunting ban, was that not hunting then, in your opinions?
No, because the term hunting does not mean exclusively what they term a hunt.
In this country it does, and I think the media and press did that, and I think certainly for about 10 years the word hunting was pushed out from anything shooting related. Not that it was ever used, because hunting was always hounds and shooting was always shooting.
Do you not think it would be more, if it weren't for the fact that it was, shall we say, an upper class sport, it would be called fox coursing.
It's a valid point. It's a very valid point, actually. I didn't actually think of that. Fox coursing on horseback. Yeah. See, for myself personally, I see hunting as a pursuit of game or quarry where you are directly putting in the effort for it. So whether it be a stalk, whether it be a decoy, whether it be I walked up where you're the one putting in the final effort for the kill.
Not driven.
Unfortunately, driven shooting is a communal hunt, and we wouldn't be where we are without working together to hunt animals. So there, ha yabu, sucks to be you.
So I'll be honest.
I mean, it's a fair show.
Johnny, your official diagnosis voice is a real boner killer. Just going to put that out there.
Okay, so think about it. How did the American Indians hunt bison? They got the entire community together to drive them off cliffs. Not all, obviously, Native American tribes did this, but it was a valid way of hunting bison, was to drive them off cliffs, because they're big bloody animals, and shoot them with a bow and arrow.
You got to shoot
a lot. Yeah, exactly. But you drive them off a cliff, and they all snuff it, and then you go and harvest the meat. That was hunting.
And it's pretenderized.
Effort. Exactly. It's community effort.
Everyone gets their spot.
It is a hunt, you know?
I think we forget nowadays with the ease that guns bring us.
Yeah.
And to be honest, in a country that's so game rich, how easy we got it. And the need to work together, which, to be fair, we do on a game shoot, is just not necessary. You don't need five blokes to try and kill a deer with a spear. Whereas if there's five of you, you can surround the deer, you've got a better chance of killing him with a spear. With a gun, one of you is better.
So I
community will, hunting.
I will advance on the fact that guns make life easy for us. I went on a pest control.
They don't make life easy for you, do they, Eddie?
I knew that was coming.
So we've reached a new segment of the show. This is ripped directly from a very famous show called Would I Lie to You? And altered slightly for The Broken Gun. It's called Is This a Lie?
Hoping that nobody from the BBC is watching or listening to the show.
So here you go. The rules are quite simple. I have three facts about Lloyd. One is true. I have three facts about Eddie. One is true. Lloyd has to guess, and Eddie has to guess, which is indeed the true fact.
This is shit already.
Well, sorry, I should have done this when I could keep a straight face.
I'm quite looking forward to this. Come on.
Who would like to start?
Let's do me. I don't care. Come on.
So, Eddie, are you ready?
I'm ready.
It's three facts about Lloyd.
Bet archery features.
Lloyd. I would say archery world record.
Just take a minute, Johnny. Just take a minute.
Fact number two. Lloyd has an alleged archery world record.
Nobody can understand that.
No, I can't understand what he's saying. It's just fun that he's crying. Let's just give him a minute.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my face.
Okay, Eddie.
Yes, mate.
My book's getting all wet.
Giggity, giggity, goo.
So, fact number one. Lloyd holds a current archery world record. Fact number two. Lloyd holds an unofficial and only alleged archery world record. Fact number three. Lloyd decided to do something obscure with a bow that he thought no one else had done and presumed it was a world record.
I'm going to go for number three, Carter.
Lloyd, can you please confirm?
So, I hold the UK record for a round that is only shot in the UK. It is therefore a world record because it isn't shot anywhere outside of the UK. Like the World Series, which is obviously only involving baseball teams in the United States, I hold a world record. Probably.
Congratulations, Lloyd.
Cheers. At least I did the last time I checked.
Which is every morning for the last 22 years.
No, not since I packed in archery, funnily enough.
He gets out there, he polishes his cape, he chokes a few people with it. He shoves it down their throats and pulls it back out and he goes, yes, I am Robin Hood.
I definitely know how to polish a cape.
As we have discussed in our group chat, you don't have a cape.
Capeless Lloyd.
Capeless Wonder, you and Bruce.
A cape for life, not just for Christmas. Sorry to know that.
Yeah, I mean, every man is born with a cape. Some men choose to cut their capes off.
Just don't get it. I don't get it. Surely it just adds length and girth and weight. You should always keep your cape.
It's just somewhere to store cheese.
When it comes to that survival situation, you're going to be noshing me off first, right?
Fucking hell. That's getting taken out.
Moving on to things that will be in the podcast. Right, how are
they? All right, Lloyd, are you ready for Eddie's facts?
I am ready.
Fact number one about Eddie Tunstall, the Somerset Hunters, as we call him. He is well known for regularly getting birds out of the freezer for his Instagram posts. Fact number two. Eddie only grew a beard to hide his unfortunate jawline. Fact number three. Eddie, at one point or another, has married both of his sisters.
Is this... No, hang on. This is a trick question, right? Because all three are true.
And well done, Lloyd. You sniffed the rat out straight away.
I can't believe you got that. I thought you might have picked one of them, Lloyd. But as you said, they are all correct. Well done, Lloyd. Well done, Lloyd. And thanks, Johnny, for those beautiful questions. You long streak of piss.
Right. They teach us this sort of humour at Hogwarts.
Exactamundo.
I'll dub in the sound of tumbleweeds and church bells at this point.
But in fact, why don't you stick a mic out the window?
So this is the part where we pick a YouTube channel or a social media account that you should check over and go and give a follow.
For me, it's a chap called Sergio Cudo. Sergio is a stalker and guide in Scotland. He's Portuguese, and he has a YouTube channel and a presence on Instagram, and it's Circuit Wild Harvest. I will put a link in the show notes.
I love Sergio Cudo. Like, I really enjoy his content, actually. Like, it's just good, honest content.
Yes.
I don't think I know who that is. I'm definitely going to go and give him a follow now.
You will have seen him on Field Sports channel, Eddie.
Recommendation, okay. There you go.
Maybe I already follow him.
Anytime they're in Portugal doing any sort of hunting, he's usually there.
Okay, cool. I'll definitely go and give him a follow. For me, it is Girls Tackle Nevis. Two absolute lunatics who are lovely and they're good eggs. But they are going to be climbing up Ben Nevis for the Gamekeepers Welfare Trust. And they got a little Instagram thing going on, but it'd be great if you go over and give them a follow and give them some support. That'd be
the
great.
Gamekeepers Welfare Trust is something that is very, very much worth looking after, to be fair, especially this year when keepers have been... They've had a hard time, I think, mentally speaking, more than anything.
How about you, Johnny?
I watched a film this week that is very much worth a watch. It's a bit long, it's a bit American, and it's a bit old. It is called The Sacred Hunt by Dr. Randall Eaton on YouTube. It's all about hunting as a sacred path in Native American or American Indian culture, looking at it from much more of an animist point of view, like the animal as a equal spirit. Very interesting. There's some stuff in there that a lot of people just go, that's just nimby bimby bollocks. There's some stuff in there that people go, that really relates. Depends on who you are. But definitely worth a watch to anyone who's, well, into the spiritual side of hunting, man.
So I'll not bother with that one then. Anyway.
All right. It's got foreigners in it. You wouldn't like it.
We don't do foreigners up north.
Do cocktails.
I've heard.
Chaps, thank you very, very much for listening. Hopefully this will have been edited down into a listenable podcast. And we'll do better next time, we promise. I've been Lloyd Patterson, Lloydie P on YouTube and Instagram.
I've been Eddie from the Somerset Hunters. Thank you very much for putting up with our bullshit for one more episode. The next one will be better, I promise.
And I am Johnny Carter, and I am very sorry for being late. Guys, it's been great to just chat to you for a couple of hours, and I hope you guys have enjoyed listening to it.
For fuck's sake, Johnny, try and turn up on time next time.
Are we fucking famous yet or what?